Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the studio with me for this segment, I have Dr. Cameron Kaiser, public health officer for Riverside University Health System Public Health. And of course, we've been hearing a lot about the measles lately, and that's going to be the focus of our discussion today. We'll be talking about the measles. So thank you very much for joining me, doctor. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Now, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long have you been with the county health department?
I've been with the health department for about 13 years now as a physician in various roles, but I've been the county health officer for about 8.
So we're going to be talking about the measles today. That's the focus of our discussion, and California has reported several cases of the measles. New York has reported quite a few cases, and they're kind of freaking out back there. What other states have reported cases of the measles?
Well, as you mentioned, the big ones would be New York State and Washington State. We've also had a fair amount of it here as well. The CDC actually is tracking a number of outbreaks nationwide. States that have reported include Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New England, Oregon, Pennsylvania. I mean, it's getting to the point where there's almost as many states that have it as don't.
Okay, so let's backtrack here a moment to explain what exactly is the measles.
Measles is a disease spread through the air by the virus which bears its name, and most commonly it causes a fairly high fever and a rash, though there are, of course, other symptoms. What makes measles uniquely difficult from a public health perspective is how easily it spreads. And it's been a very old disease with us. We've identified measles around about 500 AD is when we believe it first appeared, born out of a virus of cattle called Rinderpest. And from then on, it went to become one of the leading vaccine-preventable public health concerns in the world for a period of about 150 years between around 1855 and 2005 or so. We estimate about 200 million people actually died of the measles. 20 million people get it annually, including a handful of them in the United States, of course, more recently. And the real shame of it is that every single one of those cases is preventable because of the vaccine.
Why is the measles of such concern on a public health aspect, and is it a problem in Riverside County?
Measles is of a concern mostly because it spreads so effectively through populations. 90% of unvaccinated individuals who come in contact with somebody who's shedding virus will get the disease, and it can remain in the air for up to a couple hours afterwards. When you have something like that that spreads so efficiently, you're going to get a large number of cases in a short time. Let's take the 2014 Disneyland outbreak as an example. We had 125 cases in the space of less than 2 months in an area with good vaccination rates, good health care, and good public health infrastructure. Imagine how much worse it would have been if those things didn't exist. When you get a large number of cases like that, you're going to see two things. The first thing you see is people who have been previously considered immune start getting breakthrough infections. The measles vaccine is a pretty good vaccine. It's about 97% effective after 2 doses, but you get somebody out there, they're getting hit with different kinds of strains. They might hit with a couple of mutated ones. Sooner or later, one of those will happen to sneak through, and those people will also come down with disease. Now, when an individual has been vaccinated, the disease tends to be less severe, and we believe that they spread it less effectively. But nevertheless, they can still get it. But the second problem is more insidious. Measles is usually a benign disease. Most people will get over it. But a small percentage of a large number can still be a large number. And those rare complications start becoming less rare as you start seeing more of those cases. Measles pneumonia, for example, can put people in the hospital or worse. Measles encephalitis, where it actually starts to infect the brain. And one of the most feared complications is a phenomenon called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, or SSPE. This one actually pops up sometimes a couple years after measles infection, causes slow motion neurologic decline, and is almost uniformly fatal. When you start getting cases that increase, and measles has a propensity for doing that because of how easily it spreads, you're going to start seeing those phenomena happen, and that's where we as a public health infrastructure start becoming very concerned.
Measles was almost eradicated at one point, it seems. Why and how has it come back?
Let's define our terms clearly. Eradication and elimination are actually two different things.
Okay.
Eradication refers to the phenomenon there is no more of that virus. And we have eradicated diseases before. One of them, the disease that most people cite is smallpox. The other one being Rinderpest, which is another story for another day, which is actually a relative of measles, as it turns out. Smallpox was eradicated through a combination of very aggressive vaccination strategies. And the last case of smallpox that ever occurred worldwide was 1978, if my memory serves, over four decades ago. We haven't seen smallpox since then. It doesn't exist in the environment. The only place it does exist are in samples somewhere where we hope they're in very secure facilities.
Right.
And people are even talking about that we should destroy those so it can never come back. Measles did get to the point of elimination. Elimination is a little bit different. Elimination simply says that we can't detect it in the wild in a particular area. It may still be around, but we can't find it. In the year 2000, the CDC pronounced that measles had been eliminated from the United States. The problem, of course, is that we import it. Especially in areas, and LAX would be the classic example, we've got lots of foreign travelers going through, and measles continues to be a major problem in the developing world. I said about 20 million people per year happen to have it, and this even occurs in countries where they have reasonably robust public health infrastructure if their immunization rates aren't good. Because we keep bringing it in here, and because our own immunization rates have been declining in some areas, then it starts to get a foothold back in the country, and this is what we're starting to see, this monotonic increase in case rates year after year to the point where we're at it now, where we have over almost 840 cases nationwide. That's of my most recent numbers since May. Here in the Inland Empire, we've been very fortunate. Both in Riverside and San Bernardino counties, we haven't had a case yet. But keep in mind, our neighbors have, Los Angeles and Orange, to say the least. And it's just a matter of time before it happens to get out here.
Do you know where this latest round of measles entered the country?
I don't think we have a specific pinpoint, mostly because the outbreaks, especially the geographically separated ones, generally involve different countries. We've had a couple different outbreaks nationally, and many of these tend to have different origins. For example, the one in New York, where it's disproportionately affecting the Orthodox Jew community, has come primarily from Israel and the Ukraine. But those countries, the Philippines has been implicated. In fact, we believe that the Philippines was the source of the 2014 Disneyland outbreak. I think the most important takeaway message for people to realize is there's a lot of countries out there where measles is what we call endemic in the population, where it happens to circulate normally. And they need to appropriately consider precautions if they happen to take international travel to make sure that they and their families remain protected, make sure that they're current on their shots. If they have a child under 1 year who's traveling with them, even though we wouldn't ordinarily give the first measles shot until 1 year of age, they may actually be a candidate for getting an early shot between 6 months and 12 years of age to help protect them. That doesn't count as their first shot. That's just there as a protective measure. But that may give you some additional protection if you happen to be traveling over there, especially because measles complications tend to be more common in people under five.
What are some of the symptoms of the measles, and can we prevent the measles?
The most common symptoms of measles are the classic ones most people are aware of, an extremely high fever, sometimes as high as 104, a rash usually starting on the face but typically moving down towards the rest of the body, and maybe what we call confluent, where it sort of seems to blend in, patches seem to blend in together with each other, that tends to be a very flat, reddish rash. They also get inflammation around their eyes, what we call conjunctivitis. They may have respiratory symptoms such as that it might get a little bit snotty or have other kinds of discharge, which is also an effective means of transmitting disease. And occasionally we'll also see a phenomenon called coplic spots, these little whitish spots that sometimes occur in the inside of the cheeks. There are a lot of things that can be confused with measles, which is why people who think they've had the measles before, it may be sometimes important to check. Especially prior to typical blood testing for measles, a lot of diagnosis was made on purely clinical grounds. It looked like a duck, it quacked like a duck, so therefore it must have been a duck. But measles can be confused with a lot of things, especially in the present day, where many physicians may never have seen a case of measles at all. It's important for people to make sure that if measles is suspected, that their physician does the appropriate testing and contacts the health department, because we definitely want to know about those suspect cases. We can help expedite testing so you can get an answer. And most importantly, we'd certainly want people to stay home from work. Don't bring it in with them. Don't bring it into school. If you must go into your physician and be seen, make sure you call them first so that they can make appropriate arrangements. And then that way you won't expose anybody in the waiting room. Of course, the best protection for the measles is the shot. The MMR vaccine, or MMRV, as sometimes people get, that combines the varicella vaccine, which we use for chickenpox. We usually give that first dose at about 12 to 15 months of age, and the second one about 4 to 6 years. Although if you're catching up, you can put them together in as soon as 4 weeks. Combined together, that gives people up to 97% protection against the virus. As I mentioned, you know, there's lots of different strains of measles running around. There's lots of mutations. We know of at least 21 strains of measles, which happen to be worldwide. But nevertheless, the vaccine covers the vast majority of them, and most people have good lifelong immunity if they get those two. Which brings us to another important question: who should be immunized? If you were born before 1957, we consider you to be immune already. We had wide national outbreaks of measles recurrently through that time, which means that anybody who was alive during there almost certainly had it at some time or another. If you're working in the healthcare field, you're kind of in a different story, but for the general population, that's the assumption that we make. If you've gotten two doses of the vaccine, you're as good as you're going to get. If you have a blood test saying that you're immune, then we consider you to be immune. And again, if you've had the measles before and you know it was the measles, keeping in mind that sometimes a diagnosis may have been made just as a good educated guess, then we also consider you to be immune. But if you're a healthcare worker, you definitely need to talk to your workplace and your physician about what additional steps may be necessary to make sure you protect yourself and others at work. If you're traveling overseas, as I mentioned, you may have a very young child who may be a good candidate, and you should make sure everybody else is up to date. And if you only had the one shot of it, you may still be considered immune, but you may want to talk to your physician to make sure you're not in a situation where a second one may be helpful.
So if someone gets the measles, how do you treat the symptoms, or can you treat the symptoms?
There is no specific treatment for measles per se. The best treatment is to stay home. If we happen to catch it soon enough, we can sometimes give you a dose of MMR vaccine right then and there. And then that can help to protect you. Up to about 6 days after it, we can give you a dose of what we call immune globulin to help reduce that as well. But other than that, there is no specific treatment that you take. There's no pills. There's no antivirals. You just basically get well. Our rule of thumb is what we call the rule of fours. You're contagious for 4 days before the rash appears. You're contagious for 4 days afterwards. And you definitely need to make sure that you work with the health department or whoever else happens to be on your case to make sure that you don't put anybody else at risk while you happen to be recovering from the disease. Again, most people will do fine, but a very small number of people will have complications, and if that happens to you, it's critical to make sure that you inform your physician and or see the emergency room if necessary, again, informing them in advance that you think that you might have it, so that way you're appropriately treated. And it's something that's relevant to people, too, even with the small number of cases that we have. About 1 in 500 people will die of the measles, even with modern medical care for the complications under the best circumstances. And that number increases in certain high-risk groups if you have other kinds of complicating medical conditions or if you're very young. For that reason, people need to take the measles seriously. It's not just this childhood disease that people blew over. It can have real consequences, and it really does kill people.
So what about people that are against vaccinations in general? They think that we should just get it naturally so that it runs its course.
As I mentioned before, the real issue with measles is if it spreads like stink through a population, you get a large number of cases, you're going to get a large number of complications. This isn't the way to encourage mass immunity, is by making sure that everybody gets it, because some number of those people will actually get something serious and some number of them will die. The vaccine is so effective and has so few side effects, almost everybody can get it. There is no vaccine shortage. And one other thing that I also hasten to add is that the supposed link between the MMR vaccine and autism has been thoroughly debunked over and over and over. Just recently, in fact, we had a large study in Denmark. 657,000 children were surveyed, and there was no demonstrated linkage between autism in that population and MMR. And last I checked, Danish kids still have 10 fingers and toes. They still got one head. I think they compare very well with American children. But jokes aside, we have looked at this over and over, and unfortunately, it's getting to the point where it is damaging our ability to maintain our own immunity. We always have this discussion about how vaccine is important as a civic duty, and that's certainly true. But the point that I want to remind people is that vaccination benefits most the people who actually get it. You don't get sick. You don't get the complications. You don't get your family sick. You don't have to stay home from work. You don't have to have worse things happen to you or anybody that you care about who happens to be around you. By getting vaccines, we're not only helping to improve our overall society, we're helping to improve our own health. And if I can do nothing else but appeal to people's self-interest, then let me do that now.
Is there a place that people can go? Is there a website that they can find out more information about measles?
We actually have a website dedicated to measles at Riverside County, and you can go to RivcoPH, that's RIVCOPH.org, and then click on measles in the top bar, RIVCOPH.org, and click on measles.
Okay, as we start to wrap things up, if there's one important point you could make to the public about measles, what would that be?
Actually, let me make a more general point about immunizations.
Okay.
And use measles to illustrate it. Measles is really our canary in the coal mine, isn't it? When you have a disease that spreads so rapidly, this is the first thing to go wrong. You start seeing cases of measles when you start seeing your immunization rates go down because it's often the first one that people get. It's so effective, it spreads so easily. Let's contrast that with polio, for example. Polio, we also believe, has been eradicated in the U.S. And in this case, I actually use the term eradication. There is no wild-type polio in the U.S. There hasn't been in a number of years. But there are some countries where polio still exists. And polio is really just a plane flight away. If people happen to come over here, the vast majority of people who get infected with polio will show no symptoms. But they can still spread it to people. Only about 1% will go on to have serious neurologic complications, such as the spinal polio that we remember from the iron lung era. This should tell us something. If we're starting to see increases in our measles rates, what does this say about other kinds of communicable diseases and vaccine-preventable diseases? What disease is right around the corner? If most people aren't picking on specifically on the MMR vaccine, we're seeing decreases in immunization rates for all kinds of vaccines, which means these diseases we should have won the war on 50, 60 years ago are starting to come back and in larger numbers. This is a fight we don't need to be fighting all over again. If we can get all on the same page and make sure we all remain protected, then we're all going to do a lot better and we're all going to remain healthier for a lot longer.
And you said earlier that no cases of measles have been reported in Riverside County so far.
So far, and we aim to keep it that way.
What about the adjoining counties?
San Bernardino, I'm not aware of any. However, Orange County and Los Angeles County in particular both have reported them. Again, in L.A. County, they tend to be from foreign travelers, but we even had one of those. We had an individual who was vaccinated who did get it. So like I say, you start getting enough cases and these things will happen.
Okay, my special guest, Dr. Cameron Kaiser, Public Health Officer for Riverside University Health System, Public Health Department. And we've been talking about measles prevention and, of course, the concern about measles lately. So thank you very much for spending some time with us today, Doctor. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.